The curling, billowing traces said that the window had been opened and closed again. And was there just the merest, tiniest suggestion that he'd held an arm out in front of him? Her nose raced, trying to form original shapes from the patterns hanging in the room like dead smoke. When she'd finished, Angua went back to her pile of clothes and coughed politely while she was pulling on her boots. "There was a man standing by the window," she said. "Long hair, a bit dry, stinks of expensive shampoo. He was the man who nailed the boards back after Rossi got into the barbican." "Are you sure? Is this nose ever wrong? Sorry, go on. I'd say he was heavy set, a bit bulky for his height. He doesn't wash a lot, but when he does, he uses Windpike soap, the cheap brand. But expensive shampoo, which is odd, quite new boots and a green coat." "You can smell the colour?" "No, the dye. It comes from Stolat, I think, and I think he shot a bow. An expensive bow. There's a hint of silk in the air, and that's what the strongest bowstrings are made of, isn't it? And you wouldn't put one of those on a cheap bow." Carrot stood by the window. "He got a good view," he said, and looked down at the floor, and then at the sill, and on the shelves nearby. "How long was he here?"
2 or 3 hours, I'd say."
"He didn't move around much?"
"No.
Or smoke? Or spit? He just stood and waited. A professional. Mr. Vimes was right."
"A lot more professional than Ozzy," said Angua.
"Green coat," said Carrot, as if thinking aloud. "Green coat. Green coat."
"Oh, and bad dandruff," said Angua, standing up.
"Snowy slopes?" shouted Carrot.
"What?
Really bad dandruff?"
"Oh, yes, it was.
That's why they called him Snowy," said Carrot. "Daceyville Slopes, the man with the reinforced comb. But I'd heard he'd moved to Stolat."
In unison, they said, "Where the dye comes from."
"Is he good with a bow?" said Angua. "Very good. He's good at killing people he never met, too."
"He's an assassin, is he?"
"Oh, no, he just kills people for money. No style. Snowy can't read and write."
Carrot scratched his head in sympathetic recollection. "He doesn't even look at complicated pictures. We'd have got him last year, but he shook his head fast and got away while we were trying to dig out Nobby."
"Well, well, I wonder where he's staying."
"Don't ask me to follow him in these streets. Thousands of people will have walked over the trail."
"Oh, there's people who'll know. Someone sees everything in this town."
"Mr. Slopes?"
Snowy Slopes gingerly felt his neck, or at least the neck of his soul. The human soul tends to keep the shape of the original body for some time after death. Habit is a wonderful thing.
Who the hell was he?"
he said.
"Not someone you know?" said Death.
"Well, no. I don't know many people who cut my head off."
Snowy Slopes' body had knocked against the table as it fell. Several bottles of medicated shampoo now dripped and mixed their contents onto the other more intimate fluids from the Slope's corpse.
"That stuff with the special oil in it cost me nearly $4, said Snowy,
yet somehow it all seemed slightly irrelevant now. Death happens to other people. The other person in this case had been him. That is, the one down there, not the one standing here looking at it. In life, Snowy hadn't even been able to spell metaphysical, but he was already beginning to view life in a different way. From the outside, for a start.
$4, he repeated. "I never even had time to try it."
"It wouldn't have worked," said Death, patting the man on a fading shoulder. "But if I might suggest that you look on the bright side, it will no longer be necessary."
"No more dandruff," said Snowy, now quite transparent and fading fast.
"Ever," said Death. "Trust me on this."
Commander Vimes ran down the darkened streets, trying to buckle on his breastplate as he ran.
"All right, Cheery, what's happening?"
"They say a Clatchian killed someone, sir. There's a mob up in Scandal Alley, and it's looking bad. I was on the desk, and I thought you ought to be told, sir."
"Right."
"And anyway, I couldn't find Captain Carrot, sir."
A little bit of acid ink scribbled its subtle entry on the ledger of Vimes's soul.
"Oh, gods. So who's the officer in charge?"
"Sergeant Detritus, sir."
It seemed to the dwarf that she was suddenly standing still. Commander Vimes had become a rapidly disappearing blur.